What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
If there is one skill capable of transforming your life this year, it is this. The ability to do what must be done, even when you do not feel like it. Anyone can start projects with enthusiasm. Anyone can design plans when they feel inspired. But life does not change in those moments. Life changes on ordinary days, on the days when you are tired, on the days when no one is watching, on the days when it would be much easier to leave it for later. That is exactly where most people stop. But you can learn to keep moving forward. At that point, many people spend years saying they are going to change, but they never do, because consistency is a strange skill. Even though it seems simple, it is one of the hardest things to maintain. The Stoics understood this more than 2,000 years ago. They understood that enthusiasm fades, that emotions change, and that motivation is not reliable. That is why they developed a mental system to support their decisions even when the desire disappeared. And that is exactly what you are going to learn in this episode. This is not about endless willpower or perfect discipline. It is about a few simple changes in the way you think and act that allow a person to continue even when everything becomes complicated. And when you understand this, something changes. Because you realize that consistency is not a talent. It is a mental structure that can be built. Today you are going to learn 6 Stoic lessons that work like mental tools, ideas capable of strengthening your discipline, cutting procrastination at the root, and sustaining your decisions even when the road becomes difficult. When you begin to apply these lessons, something inside you reorganizes itself. You stop depending on the impulse of the moment and begin building a mind that simply does what must be done. So, before we begin, write something simple here in the comments. I finish what I start. It is not just a phrase, it is a quiet reminder of the person you are deciding to become starting today. Now let us go to the first lesson. Number 1. Train your mind to overcome discomfort. There is a quiet moment that defines the direction of an entire day. It lasts only a few seconds, but it determines far more than it seems. It is that instant when you know perfectly well what you need to do, but one part of you wants to avoid it. You know you should begin the important task, but you feel like checking your phone first. You know you need to solve a problem, but you would rather postpone it. You know you should have a necessary conversation, but you try to push it to another time. That is exactly where most people deceive themselves. They believe that discipline consists of doing difficult things all the time, but that is not true. Discipline consists of moving through that small instant of resistance, that second when the mind tries to negotiate with you. I will do it later. I am tired today. Tomorrow I will start better. And if you pay close attention, you will notice something curious. The battle almost always happens before the action, not during it. Once you begin, the discomfort decreases, but before you begin, it seems enormous. The Stoics understood this mechanism with complete clarity. Marcus Aurelius wrote something very simple and direct to himself. In the morning, when you have difficulty getting up, remember that you got up to do the work of a human being. He was not speaking only about getting out of bed. He was speaking about responsibility toward one's own life. Today we know that there is, in fact, a system in the brain involved in that moment of decision. A region called the anterior cingulate cortex becomes active when you face internal conflict, when one part of you seeks comfort and the other wants to act. This system works like an effort detector. It switches on when you decide to continue, even with resistance. And here is the interesting point that neuroscience shows. The more times you move through that moment of resistance, the more efficient that system becomes. In other words, the ability to deal with discomfort can be trained. But it does not grow the way many people imagine. It does not develop in great heroic moments. It grows stronger through small and repeated decisions. When you finish something you started, when you answer a difficult message instead of avoiding it, when you organize what is messy instead of ignoring it, when you begin even without feeling like it. Think of someone who needs to solve an important problem at work. They know they need to look at it calmly, think, decide, act, but the task feels heavy, so they do what many people do. They open another tab, answer irrelevant emails, go on social media, look for distraction. Not because they are lazy, but because the brain tries to escape discomfort. Now imagine the same situation, but with a different decision. The person takes a deep breath, opens the document, and begins working on the problem even without wanting to. In the first few minutes, there is resistance. The mind tries to escape, but after a while, something changes. Focus appears, clarity begins to emerge, and the problem stops seeming so large. That is the moment when the brain learns an important lesson. Discomfort is not a sign of danger. It is simply the beginning of the process, and the more times you move through that point, the less frightening it becomes. The philosopher Seneca wrote something that perfectly describes this process. It is not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they become difficult. Most people interpret discomfort as a warning to stop, but the person who builds mental strength learns to interpret it differently. Discomfort is not a sign that you should give up. Many times it is simply the sign that you are exactly in the place where growth happens, and that completely changes the way you face your days. Because from this understanding onward, you do not wait to feel like acting. You act first, and the desire comes afterward. Every small victory over inner resistance sends a quiet message to your own mind. I do what needs to be done. And over time, that message becomes identity. You stop being someone who depends on motivation and become someone who trusts themselves. In the end, mental strength is not born from talent, luck, or inspiration. It is born from those invisible decisions that almost no one sees. The decision to begin, the decision to continue, the decision not to run away. And when you learn to move through that small moment of resistance, you discover that discomfort was not an enemy. It was simply the doorway to a stronger version of yourself. Number 2. Stop feeding the conversation that weakens you. There is a kind of battle that almost no one notices, but it happens every day inside the mind of anyone trying to improve their life. It is not a battle against the world or against other people. It is a battle against an internal conversation that seems harmless, but little by little it steals your energy. That conversation begins in a subtle way. You think about doing something important, and immediately a mental comment appears. Maybe now is not the best time. You are tired. You will do it later with more calm. Notice something. It is not a direct command to give up. It is a suggestion that sounds reasonable, and that is exactly why it works. The human mind has an impressive ability to justify what it has already decided to avoid. It builds intelligent arguments to explain why to postpone, why to wait, why to leave it for tomorrow. The problem is that when you begin to argue too much with that voice, something curious happens. Action disappears. You enter into an endless internal dialogue. Is it really worth it? Is this the right moment? Am I ready? and while the mind debates, time keeps passing. Many people believe they lack discipline in life, but most of the time the problem is not a lack of strength, but an excess of internal conversation. They think too much before acting. The Stoics had a very clear position on this. Epictetus taught that human suffering often does not come from events themselves, but from the interpretations and stories we create about them. And if you pay close attention, you will notice that a large part of procrastination is born exactly there. Not in tiredness, not in difficulty, but in the narrative you build around what you are about to do. When you enter that kind of prolonged internal dialogue, areas of the brain associated with rumination and worry, especially networks linked to the so-called default mode of the brain, become hyperactive. It is the brain running scenarios, analyzing possibilities, imagining consequences in small doses. That is useful because it helps with planning. But when that system takes control of your mind, it creates a curious phenomenon. You feel like you are dealing with the problem when in reality you are only thinking about it. You feel busy, reflective, concerned, but you are not moving forward. It is like someone who spends half an hour thinking about whether they should get into a cold pool. They analyze the temperature, think about the impact, imagine the shock of the water. Meanwhile, the person who simply got into the pool is already swimming. The difference was not courage, it was decision. And this is an important turn you need to understand. Mental strength does not mean never feeling doubt. Everyone feels it. The difference lies in how long you allow that conversation to continue. Disciplined people do not have fewer self-sabotaging thoughts. They simply do not feed them for too long. They detect the thought and act anyway. Think of someone who needs to make a difficult phone call, perhaps to apologize or to talk about a delicate problem. The mind immediately begins creating stories. What if the other person reacts badly? What if this ends in an argument? Maybe it is better to wait. But experience shows something interesting. Discomfort is almost always before the action, not after it. When the person finally makes the call, has the conversation, and hangs up the phone, a very clear feeling appears. Relief, clarity, the energy that was trapped in worry, is released. Seneca wrote something that remains extremely relevant. We sometimes suffer more in imagination than in reality, and that applies perfectly to this internal battle. Many of the things that seem heavy when we think about them become much smaller when we begin to act. That is why one of the most powerful mental skills you can develop is very simple. Shorten the distance between deciding and acting. Less negotiation, less overanalysis, more movement. When you do this again and again, something interesting begins to happen inside you. The mind learns that not every doubt needs to be debated, that not every thought deserves to be taken seriously. You begin to realize that thoughts are just thoughts. They appear, make noise, and disappear. And in that moment, a new feeling of power is born, because you understand something that many people take years to discover. You do not need to defeat every negative thought, you only need to refuse to obey it. From that point on, decisions begin to become simpler. You act even with doubt. You begin even without motivation. You continue even when the mind tries to negotiate. And the more times you do this, the quieter that sabotaging conversation becomes, until one day that voice that once seemed to control your decisions is nothing more than background noise, and you keep moving forward anyway. Number 3, become the kind of person who keeps their promises. The simplest way to lose trust in yourself is not when you fail, and it is not when something goes wrong. It is when you start something and simply leave it for later. You say you are going to organize your routine. You say you are going to start that project. You say you are going to study, write, train, change something important. But the days go by. Other things show up, and that remains stuck in some corner of your life. An open tab on the computer, a forgotten notebook on the table, a goal that seemed important but got pushed aside for when there is time. And the problem is not only the task that was left halfway done. The problem is the message that sends to your own mind. Every abandoned promise creates a small crack in the trust you have in yourself. At first it seems insignificant, but over time something changes. You begin to have ideas, but you no longer believe in them very much. You make plans, but you feel that maybe you will not make it to the end. You set goals, but deep down there is a quiet voice that says, you probably are not going to finish. And that is devastating, because a person's greatest strength is not talent, intelligence, or luck. It is believing in your own word. Think of something very common. You decide to organize your week, and you make a list of important things. Everything is there. Solve a problem at work. Take care of your health. Finish something that was left pending. But then the day begins. Messages arrive. Little emergencies appear. You solve one thing here, another there. And before you realize it, the day is over and what truly mattered gets pushed to tomorrow. Most people live like this, always busy, always reacting, but rarely finishing what they actually decided to do. And little by little, that creates a pattern. The mind learns that deciding does not mean finishing. The Stoics had a very clear view of this. For them, character was not what you said you were going to do, but what you actually did. Epictetus taught something very direct. First tell yourself who you want to be, then do what you need to do. It is not a phrase about motivation, it is a phrase about identity. Because every time you finish something you started, even something small, you strengthen a powerful identity inside yourself. The identity of someone reliable, someone who does not depend on initial enthusiasm, someone who does not need to feel like it all the time, someone who simply does what they decide. And that change begins with very simple things. Replying to that message you have been avoiding for days. Finishing the report that has been sitting there unfinished. Completing a chapter of the book you started. Resolving a pending issue that you keep postponing. None of that seems grand, but every closed cycle sends a clear message to your brain. When I say I am going to do it, I do it. And that message changes everything. Because self-trust is not born from great victories. It is born from small promises kept again and again. The philosopher William James, considered one of the fathers of modern psychology, wrote something deeply true. Action seems to follow feeling, but in reality, action and feeling walk together. In other words, you do not need to wait to feel disciplined in order to act. You act first.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full-service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts.
And by acting, you begin to become disciplined. That is how self-respect is built. Not with grand promises, but with small decisions sustained all the way to the end. When you learn to finish what you start, something changes in the way you see yourself. You stop seeing yourself as someone who tries and begin seeing yourself as someone who does. And that change is powerful, because when a person trusts their own word, they do not need constant motivation. They have something much stronger, credibility with themselves. And when you reach that point, your projects begin to move forward. Your decisions become firmer and your mind stops doubting you. Because deep down you know something simple. If you decided, you will go all the way to the end, and that is one of the most powerful ways to build a strong life. Number 4. Make your mind want to return to the habit. Many people abandon important habits for a simple reason. They believe discipline means doing things they hate every day. But most of the time, that is exactly what destroys consistency. When an activity feels like punishment, your mind starts looking for ways to escape. You procrastinate, negotiate, invent excuses, promise yourself that tomorrow you will make up for it, and over time, the habit disappears. Not because you are weak, but because the brain works in a very specific way. Every time you do something that produces a positive feeling, satisfaction, pleasure, relief, a sense of progress, the brain releases dopamine, a neurotransmitter related to motivation and learning. That dopamine works like an internal signal that says, "This is worth repeating." That is how habits become solid. Now imagine the opposite. Imagine that every time you do something, the dominant feeling is irritation, boredom, or frustration. Then the brain learns another lesson. Avoid this whenever possible. That is why so many people begin a routine full of willpower and abandon it just a few weeks later. It is not a lack of character, it is a lack of strategy. The Stoics understood something very deep about the human mind. We do not move only because of obligation. We move because of meaning. Epictetus said that it is not events themselves that disturb us, but the meaning we give them. And that applies to almost everything in life. Think about two people doing exactly the same thing. One is running on a treadmill, looking at the clock every 30 seconds, waiting for it to end. For that person, it feels like punishment. The other is playing soccer with friends, laughing, moving, feeling their body alive. Physically, both are exercising, but mentally they are completely different experiences. One creates resistance, the other creates a desire to come back the next day. And that is exactly where many people sabotage themselves. They choose habits based only on what they think they should do, not on what they can actually sustain. They choose the workout that is trending, the routine some influencer does, the method that seems most efficient, but they forget to ask themselves an essential question. Does this fit me? Because true discipline does not consist of living in a permanent war against yourself. Intelligent discipline consists of creating conditions for your mind to cooperate. Marcus Aurelius wrote something very simple but deeply true. What is in accordance with nature becomes easier to sustain. Your body was made to move, your mind was made to learn. But the way you do that completely changes the experience. Maybe running feels unbearable to you, but walking while listening to a good podcast feels enjoyable. Maybe the gym discourages you, but swimming makes you feel light. Maybe lifting weights does not excite you, but practicing boxing releases your energy in a way that makes you leave feeling better than when you came in. The key is not finding the perfect method. The key is finding something your mind accepts repeating. Because consistency beats intensity. Doing something good 3 times a week for years transforms your body, your energy, and your confidence. Doing something perfectly for 2 weeks and then abandoning it transforms nothing. When you find an activity that truly makes sense for you, something changes. The effort still exists, but the resistance decreases. You stop thinking, "I have to do this," and begin to feel, "I want to keep doing this." And that small shift completely transforms your relationship with discipline. Seneca wrote a phrase that sums up this idea very well. No wind is favorable for the one who does not know where they are going. If you choose habits that do not fit you, any difficulty becomes a reason to stop. But when you find something that fits your life, your rhythm, and your personality, the habit stops being a daily struggle and begins to become part of who you are. And when that happens, discipline no longer depends on motivation. It begins to work almost by itself because you are no longer trying to survive the effort. You are building a routine that your own mind wants to keep living. Number 5. Learn to fall in love with the process. There is a quiet mistake that causes many people to give up too soon. It is not a lack of ability, and it is not a lack of opportunities. It is a wrong way of looking at the path. Most people can only motivate themselves when they imagine the final result. They think about the achievement, the approval, the recognition, the goal reached. The problem is that real life almost never happens there. Life happens in the process. It happens in the hours when no one sees you, in imperfect attempts, in the days when you do something without applause, without immediate results, without that feeling of victory. And when someone lives only waiting for the result, everything else begins to feel frustrating. The person starts a project and wants to see immediate progress. They begin studying and want to understand everything quickly. They begin a change in their life and want to feel that they have already become a different person. But progress rarely appears that way. Most of the time it is subtle, almost invisible. Think about someone who decides to improve their ability to speak in public. At first, their voice gets stuck a little. The words do not come out naturally. The person becomes too aware of every gesture. If they are focused only on the result, "I want to speak perfectly," every presentation becomes proof that they still are not good enough. But if they shift their focus to a different question, everything changes. They no longer think, "I am still not excellent at this," but instead, "Was I a little better than yesterday?" And suddenly small improvements begin to appear. Today they spoke more clearly. Next time they were able to organize their ideas better. Later they notice that they no longer feel the same nervousness. Progress does not happen all at once. It happens in layers. The philosopher Aristotle described this brilliantly when he wrote that excellence is not an isolated act, but a habit built through repetition. In other words, no one becomes good at something only when they reach the result. A person becomes good while moving toward it. And when you understand that, something powerful changes in the way you act. You stop living anxiously for the future and begin paying attention to what you are doing now, because it is in the now that everything is being built. Imagine someone learning a new language. At first, everything seems confusing. The sentences make no sense. The pronunciation sounds strange. If that person keeps thinking only about "I want to speak fluently," every mistake will seem like a sign of inability. But when they begin paying attention to the process, everything changes. One new word learned today. One sentence that finally made sense. One simple conversation that would not have been possible before. Suddenly, the path begins to become interesting. And that completely transforms the relationship with effort, because the person who learns to value the process no longer depends on the result in order to continue. Progress itself becomes the reward. Epictetus said something that seems simple but changes everything when it is truly understood. "Do not explain your philosophy, embody it." He was talking exactly about this, about stopping living only while waiting for the final proof of change and beginning to live according to it in everyday life. Every day you show up, every attempt you make, every small improvement you build, that is where transformation happens. And there is something curious that happens when you learn to enjoy the process. The result stops being an obsession and starts appearing as a consequence, because the person who is committed to the process keeps going when others stop. They continue when there is still no recognition. They continue when the progress is still too small for others to notice, but not too small for the one who is building it. And here is the shift that changes everything. When you learn to fall in love with the process, you no longer stay paralyzed waiting for the perfect moment. You start, you continue, you improve. And one day you look back and realize that the result that once seemed so far away was nothing more than the natural reflection of someone who decided to stay on the path. The people who go far in life are not the ones who chase the result with the most anxiety. They are the ones who learn to walk with consistency, day after day. And when you understand that, you stop asking how much farther there is to go, and begin asking a much more powerful question. What can I do today to move a little farther forward? That is how entire lives begin to transform. Number 6, have a reason greater than your tiredness. Our final lesson is the one that turns everything you have learned so far into real practice. It is the cement that holds the whole structure together. Without it, everything we have seen before starts to lose strength over time. Because you can train your mind to move through discomfort. You can learn to protect what you allow into your mind, you can keep the promises you make to yourself. You can maintain discipline even on difficult days and even learn to fall in love with the process. All of that builds character, but there is one point that decides whether all of it will still be alive a year from now or disappear in just a few weeks. The reason why you are doing all of this. Anyone who tries to change their life goes through the same beginning. At first there is energy, there is hope, there is that intense feeling that now everything is finally going to work out. You start something new, you make plans, organize ideas, imagine possibilities, feel that you are finally moving forward. But after a while, that spark begins to fade. Results take longer than you imagined. The effort starts to feel heavy. Tiredness appears and a quiet question begins to rise inside your mind. Is it really worth continuing? At that point, many people believe they have lost motivation, but it is almost never about motivation. Most of the time, it is about the lack of a reason that can truly sustain the effort. Because when the reason is weak, any difficulty seems too great. But when the reason is real, even the effort itself begins to make sense. Think about someone sitting alone at night after a long day of work. The house is quiet, the body is tired, and the mind could simply look for distraction in order to rest. But that person opens a notebook. Maybe they are studying something new, maybe they are writing ideas, maybe they are trying to build a project that does not even truly exist yet. No one is watching, no one is demanding anything, no one is applauding. And still, they continue. Not because it is easy, but because inside them there is a feeling that it matters. That is the kind of energy purpose awakens. It is not a loud kind of enthusiasm that lasts only a few days. It is something quieter, deeper. It is the feeling that your life is moving in a direction that makes sense to you. Nietzsche wrote a sentence that has endured through the centuries precisely because it touches this human point with complete accuracy. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. That does not mean the pain disappears. It does not mean the effort stops existing. It means the effort gains direction. And when effort has direction, it stops seeming like mere suffering and begins to feel like construction. Today, neuroscience also confirms something that we already feel intuitively. When you work on something that has real meaning for you, the brain does not respond only to the final result. The reward system also begins to respond to progress. Every small step forward generates dopamine. Every step reinforces the feeling that you are moving toward something important. The brain begins to interpret that effort, not as a loss of energy, but as an investment. That is why some people are able to move through difficult periods without abandoning what they started. Not because they are motivated every day, but because they know clearly why they are walking that path. Marcus Aurelius reflected constantly on this in his writings. Instead of asking himself only what was easier or more comfortable, he asked a much deeper question: is this in agreement with who I chose to be? When the answer was yes, the effort stopped feeling like a burden and became coherence. And that may be one of the most powerful forces a human being can discover within themselves. Because when you find something that truly makes sense to you, your relationship with effort changes completely. You stop measuring your life only by the comfort of the moment. You begin measuring it by the meaning of the path. Difficult days still exist. Tiredness still appears. Obstacles still arise. But now there is a direction, and direction changes everything. A person without direction lives reacting to their days. A person with purpose lives building their days. They do not wake up only to complete tasks. They wake up to continue something they started. And perhaps the most important question is not how to find motivation. Maybe the real question is another one. What in your life deserves your effort? What is worth building even when no one is watching? What is worth continuing even when the result still has not appeared? Because when you find that answer, something inside you wakes up. Discipline stops being a constant struggle and becomes commitment. You do not need to feel like it every day. You need to remember why you started. And when that reason is clear, even difficult days gain meaning. Because in the end, the strength that sustains a life is not born only from motivation. It is born from the certainty that what you are building deserves to exist. The world is waiting for your best version. And I hope that in some way this episode has reminded you to bring out everything you already know you are capable of becoming. Thank you for watching.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.